So I'm going to read from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 14. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand."
So we're continuing a series that we started last week, thinking about a generous life, the beauty in giving, focusing on one of the values that we hold here at The Free, which is to give generously in response to God's overwhelming generosity and grace towards us. Just as a recap, last week we thought about the fact that learning to live a generous life is really all about learning to worship God with our whole lives, which includes our money, it includes the stuff that we own and our belongings. And then we kind of drilled into that a little bit, and we looked at how Jesus in the book of Luke says, "Do not be afraid, my little flock." And we looked at the fact that that's Jesus, our shepherd. It's God our Father and King who says, "Do not be afraid." And so when we think about the whole of our lives, but in particular the things that we own, our money, our belongings, that we can be generous with those because we've got a shepherd and Father and King who oversees us, who's looking over us, and he says, "Do not be afraid." Well, this week we're going to think about another principle that is foundational to our lives, but also foundational to a generous life. And it's all about how we approach using the things that we have and the things that we own. And this is ancient wisdom. It's biblical wisdom, and it comes straight from King David, the greatest king that Israel had, and who features in the history of the Bible, who Jesus comes in his genealogy and is descended from King David. And there's some things that he talks about, some things that he prays that are really helpful when we think about living generous lives. Just a bit of background first. King David lived 3,000 years ago. And 3,000 years ago, he was the king of Israel. And you can see there the blue on that map shows us just how vast that kingdom was that he oversaw and that he reigned over. Now, the journey of King David becoming king was not easy. His climb to the top, becoming king, involved wars, it involved battles, there were scandals in his life, there were betrayals. You know, the real stuff of kind of movies today, really. And he had a difficult climb to the top. And for years, David led Israel in a nomadic existence. That meant that they travelled around. They didn't really have a place to call home. And they lived in tents, and they camped and they moved around the area. They even had a portable version of God's house called the tabernacle, which contained the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God, those Ten Commandments. But it also just symbolized the presence of God, and where the Ark of the Covenant was, God's presence was. And they kept inside that compound and inside that tent, the tabernacle. Now, eventually, David reached a point in his reign where he had made it, really. All of his enemies had been defeated. He had won all the battles. Israel had become the superpower in the area. And it was a time of peace. And so they settled down. David built himself a palace. And it dawned on him just how blessed he was to be king, and how God's hand was on him. Yeah, I guess not unlike that for us today, is it? That we live in one of the richest nations on earth. Yes, there are struggles and there's difficulties, and in particular, at the moment, we may not feel particularly rich with the rising inflation and cost of living. But we are still, compared to the majority of the world, comparatively rich and wealthy. You know, there's a sense if David could see us today, he would say that, you know, that we live like kings every day of the year. And this feeling of being blessed stirred in David a response that I think we can learn from. You see, David had seen God's hand in everything that he achieved. God had helped him defeat giants, you know, the literal giant Goliath, but other giants as well that he faced in his life. Victories over his enemies. And he saw God's hand in this. In fact, if you read through David's Psalms, you can see just how he credits and gives praise to God for helping him in those situations. But as David looked out from the palace he had built and he looked at the tabernacle, he suddenly saw that God had a temporary home. And so he resolved to build a permanent home for God, a temple. And he started designing it and raising money to build this permanent home for God to be in. His son Solomon eventually finished building the temple. And there's an image of it there on the screen, kind of cut through. You can see just how ornate it was with the stone and the marble and the gold and the precious metals. In fact, you know, it was included to a list of the ancient wonders of the world. It's considered one of the most incredible buildings ever to be built. David and Solomon took gold and silver from the national treasury to build it. And in fact, David gave a personal donation to the building of this temple. And some historians estimate that that donation that David made on his own, in today's money, would be about £10 billion. This was an incredible building. And it's in the process of building this and designing this temple that David prays a prayer, and it reveals his mindset towards God and towards what David owned. And Sally read that to us earlier, and we're just going to look at it bit by bit. But this is what David prays. He says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor." Can you see what is happening here? David, the leader of the most powerful country, nation in the world, is bowing down to God and saying, "It's all about you. It's not about me. It's all about you." You know, so much of David's life and the way he was treated by his nation and other people would make David think, well, it was all about him. But here he's saying, "It's not all about me. It's all about God." And he's saying this in front of the whole assembly of people. All the greatness, all the power, all the glory, all the majesty, all the splendor is yours. God, I'm a king, but you're the King of Kings. Wow, can you imagine a leader in today's world saying that? "It's not about me. It's all about God." It's hard to imagine, isn't it? And here the leader of the greatest superpower is saying that. Then David goes on to say this. He says, "For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom." You see, David knew that it all belonged to God. All the silver and all the gold that's been put there and been built in the temple, it's all yours, God. David's own wealth, it's God's. The kingdom that he had fought so hard for and that he had worked so hard to build, this kingdom of Israel, he says, it's yours, Lord. It is God's. Everything in heaven and earth is yours. Wealth and honour come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. You see, for David, God didn't just own all things, but was also the source of all things. All those things that money can't buy, honour and power and strength. You see, David's saying here, yeah, all the physical things I can touch, God, are from you. But also, the honour that's been given to me as king, that's come from you. It's not about me, it's about you. The strength and the power that I have as king, it all comes from you. Any accomplishment David had achieved, he said, comes from God. That's quite an incredible statement for a king to make. You see, David's worked hard to become him. He's lauded, he's been praised by his people. He's been cheered. Songs, literal songs, have been written about David saying how great he was. David sees it very differently though. He couldn't begin to take credit for his accomplishments. He says it is all from you, God. And here's the nub of it. David is declaring that everything belongs to God, that everything comes from God, and the source of it is found in him. But everything is also distributed by God as well. He gives it out to people. And that passage just finishes with David saying this, "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Now, this is an incredibly powerful perspective as we dig into this idea of being generous. Because David says here that not he nor anybody can aspire to be as generous as God. It's an interesting idea, isn't it? Here we are in a series thinking about how to be generous. And David says here, we can't even aspire to be generous once you've experienced God's generosity. Because everything we have is from God. It's come from his hand, it's been distributed by him. So if we think we're being generous, we're not. We're just reallocating what God has already given us. It's an incredible thought, isn't it? And really does point the finger to God as him being the source of everything. Everything comes from him. Yeah, we don't see much of this today, do we? In fact, we live in a culture where people almost take pride in being generous. You know, if you think about it, we live in a culture where the giant check exists. You know, a fundraising event or a charity event. You know, if a group has raised money for a charity, what do? They don't just transfer the money to that charity and not talk about it. No, they get a giant check. Say, look what we have done. And there on the screen as well, you can see there's literal YouTube channels and TikTok channels of people filming themselves being generous towards other people. That particular account there is a guy who goes and gives money on the street to homeless people. Now that's fantastic. It's a great way of blessing people who don't have a lot. But rather than just going and doing that, we live in a culture where people film themselves, put it online, and this guy's got 1 million plus followers on TikTok. And he basically says, look what I'm doing. I'm so generous. This isn't what David says. David says, we cannot be generous. We can't even aspire to be generous when we've encountered God's generosity. Here the culture says, look at what I am giving. So what can we learn from David here? If everything belongs to God, and everything comes from God, and everything is distributed by God, what should our approach to our belongings be? To the things that we own, our wealth, our money, our bank accounts? How can we learn from David? Well, I think this is the nub of how David lives his life. To live a generous life, I must honour God with my wealth, with the things that I own. To lead a generous life, I must honour God with my wealth. You know, this encapsulates David's attitude to his money and to his belongings and to his stuff, doesn't it? Even to his accomplishment. He worshipped God. He pointed back towards God and said, all this comes from you. All this is yours. He honours God every step of the way. And this is why at the start of this series last week, I say really what we're talking about is worship here. Because that's what David does. He says, do you know what? All of this is yours, God. All of this comes from you. All the praise, all the glory, all the honour, all the strength to you, God, not to me. And that shaped his whole attitude to how he dealt with the things that he had. So how can you and I do this? How can you and I honour God with our wealth and with the things that we own and have? Well, the first thing I think we can do, and this comes straight from David, is that we resist the ownership myth. Let me explain this a little. You know, if you've been around church a while, perhaps you're comfortable with the idea that God owns everything. Perhaps you're so comfortable with that, that actually you already practice and you give back to God. You practice tithing, maybe. And if you don't know what that is, the system of tithing is where we give 10% of what we have or what we earn back to God. So if we have £10, if we earn £10 or we have it in our account, then we give £1 of that back to God. It's a good thing to do. The Bible talks about it. In fact, at the end of this series, in a week or so's time, I'm going to be talking about that precisely. But it's interesting, isn't it, that even the process of tithing and giving 10% back to God doesn't quite engender the same mindset as David's prayer. You see, just because I'm giving 10%, it doesn't follow that I believe that the other 90% is also God's. Can you see what I mean? You know, sometimes, if I'm honest, I think, right, I've given my 10% or whatever it is to God, therefore the rest is mine. It all belongs to me, and I can do what I want with 90%. You know, this reminds me of the character from The Lord of the Rings, Gollum. You know, I'm sure you know the story of Lord of the Rings. There's this character, Gollum, or Sméagol, as he's known as well, who wants the ring. In fact, he once owned this one powerful ring that controls everything, and he loses it, and then he spends his life trying to get it back, and he calls the ring my precious. You know, and this is the thing that consumes him, and that he wants more than anything else. And you know, Gollum, when he has the ring, he kind of holds it there in his hand and strokes it like it's a pet, and kind of sings over it and just gazes upon it. It's his. It's his. And Gollum is that metaphor for greed and for just wanting things ourselves. And if we're not careful, you know, we can give our 10% to God and we can pat ourselves on the back and say, well, fantastic. The rest is my precious. The rest I can do with what I want. That doesn't sound a lot like David's prayer, does it? David, who said, everything in heaven and earth is yours. 10% 90%, 100% of what we have still belongs to God. This is why we call it, you know, the ownership myth. Have we fallen for the ownership myth that really, if we're honest, deep down, we think, well, even once we've given to God, we still own that 90%. To truly honour God with all we have means resisting the ownership myth, declaring regularly, like David does, that everything is God's. That everything is God's. You know, I grew up in church. My parents took me to church as a boy. And from an early age, they would encourage me to give back to God and to give 10%. So I had my pocket money and I would pop it in the offering each week at church. I'm sure some of you did the same. And you know, when it was 10p, I was okay with that. You know, as a boy, I was okay putting 10p. When it was a pound or two, I was okay with that. But it's interesting, as I've grown older and as I've earned and as, you know, I've accumulated more stuff like we all do, as that figure gets bigger, perhaps, it becomes more challenging. I find that little flutter in my stomach sometimes when, you know, I stop and do my own accounts and look at what I've given. I think, really? I've given that? And sometimes, you know, if you get a tax rebate, maybe you've been there, or you get an unexpected amount of money come in and you think, right, I ought to give 10% to God. And then you see that, actually, that's a chunk of money there. There's that little twinge in your stomach. Really? Really? Should I do that? Why does that happen? Why does that happen to me? Well, it's because I've started to view my money as my money. Unlike David, I don't always think of it as being God's. I fall for the ownership myth. I think this is mine. And I wrestle with it. And I sit there almost like Gollum, kind of going, no, I can't let go of it. It's my precious. It belongs to me. David says, resist it. Everything belongs to God. Everything comes from God. And everything is distributed by God. If you want to honour God fully with what we have, we need to resist the idea of thinking that we own it. We don't really. That's why we call it a myth. It's not true. It's all God's. The second thing, final thing that we can do if we really want to honour God with all our wealth, is that I realise all I have is on loan. It's linked to the first point, isn't it? You know, here at The Free, we have our Oasis Community Cafe. And one of the things that I love that happens in there, and maybe you've popped in, is that we have our art gallery, Oasis Art Gallery, which is fantastic. And we have some brilliant artists showing their work in there. Now I was thinking, you know, what could we actually get some famous art in the Oasis Art Gallery? And I went onto the National Gallery's website, and there you can see it. And in fact, on the National Gallery's website, just a few clicks, you can find that you can take bits of art on loan, and you can apply. If you're a gallery or if you're a museum anywhere in the world, you can apply to the National Gallery and say, can we take some of your art on loan? And so I thought, well, you know, what art do they have at the National Gallery? And I clicked through and I recognised one of them. They've got this. It's Van Gogh's Sunflowers, one of the most famous paintings in the world. Now, we could apply to the National Gallery. It'd be fun, wouldn't it? And we could say, can we have that on loan? Can we show it in our coffee shop for a few weeks? It'd be fantastic. But when you apply to loan one of the pieces of art from the National Gallery, there is also this, the loan conditions. And at the bottom there, it's a link and you can click on it and you can download the conditions of loaning. And of course, right there at the heart of their conditions is the fact that it stipulates that even though we might hang the Van Gogh sunflowers in our coffee shop, it's still belongs to the National Gallery. That we have, it's just been entrusted to us. Now, if we did take it on loan, what percentage of Van Gogh sunflowers would we be expected to care for? If we had it here for a few weeks, what percentage would we be expected to care for? Would they be happy if we just sent 10% of that painting back and said, well, look, here's 10%, we've looked after it. The other 90% we've made into coasters for the coffee shop. Would they be happy with that? Of course not. You see, when a loan is made, both sides understand that 100% of that item would be cared for. That not even a fingerprint would be put on the painting. It would be cared for. It would be looked after. Why? Because we don't own it. It's just on loan. Ownership is the guiding principle. It's not ours. So we are duty bound to honour the expectations of the National Gallery, who are the owners. Can you see what I'm saying? Everything that is mine is on loan from God. And I am honour bound to meet the expectations of the owner. I can't just use my stuff as I want. I can't think, well, God, I've given you 10%, therefore I can do anything I want with 90% that's left. No, it is all God's anyway, and I'm honour bound to meet his expectations and to use it in a way that would please him and that would put a smile on his face and that honours him. To lead a generous life, I must honour God with everything that is mine, because it's not really mine. I must resist the ownership myth and that temptation to become a bit of a golem with 90% of what I have. I need to realise that all I have is on loan, and to honour the one who truly owns all of my stuff anyway, just as David did. And we can declare, as David did, that everything belongs to God, everything comes from God, and everything is distributed by him. So what does that look like for you? What does it look like for you to honour God with all you have? The God who has held nothing back to us. It's not like he's saying, you know, I want you to live generously, and he's not set the bar himself. God is generous. It says in Romans 8 that God is he who did not hold back his own son, that which was most precious to him. How will he also not also along with him graciously, gladly give us all things? God has given and given and given. What does it look like for us to honour God with all we have? Do you already honour him with your first 10%? Maybe honouring God means actually addressing that and saying, well, actually, God, I'm going to regularly start giving back to you 10% of what I have. Maybe that's what honouring God looks like for you. Maybe you already do that. And God's, you know, as we've looked at this today, God's saying, well, what about the 90%? And maybe he's asking you just to sort of up your generosity, up your giving a notch. Maybe honouring God means spending a little more on others who need it. Maybe it means saving a little more. And that's honouring God. And saying, right, I'm going to put some aside and because that's practical and that's the right thing to do. And that honours my God and my family. Maybe it's selling some of your possessions. Maybe you've thought, well, do you know what? I've got all this stuff, and if I'm honest, I can be a little bit golem with it, and I can kind of hoard it. Maybe it's about selling some of those things, freeing up some money, and saying, God, well, it's yours anyway. I don't know what it would be like for you. But maybe the thing we can, each one of us, do now is just ask God that question. God, how can I honour you with all I have? With all I am? Because if we ask him that, I'm certain that he would start to tell us. So as we worship now, why don't you spend some time praying? And just sitting quietly, maybe listening to this song as it's sung. And saying, God, I want to honour you with all I have. Put your finger on those things that you want me to be more generous with.